I love that song. Say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud. Yes, say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud. Hey, wake up, everybody. No more backwards thinking. Time for thinking ahead. Our children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Okay? Welcome, welcome, listeners all around this beautiful world, to Bring Back the Family. I am Kathy Clyburn, your host, and I am happy and glad you chose to tune in to Bring Back the Family. Focus on the youth. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. Keep that in mind. Always keep that in mind. So first, we're going to acknowledge a word from God with the scripture and a prayer, and we have with us our very own Jacqueline Vandegrift, and we have Rebecca Johnson and Callie Pierce, and we're going to get down after this. Okay, go for it.
Well, hello, hello, Ms. Clyburn and everybody, the listening audience. We're going to go through Romans 12, 1 through 13. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privileges and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if you are given the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If you are given a gift of serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. Is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confidence, hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. May the Lord add a blessing to the reader, hearers, and doers of his word. Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, precious Lord, thank you that you hear and answer our prayer. Thank you for all those who are listening and all those who will contribute to the discussion. We thank you for Pastor O and his wisdom to produce this show. We thank you for Sister Deaconess Kathy and her contributions and sacrifices for Bring Back the Family. We thank you that she motivates each of us to make our own sacrifices for the youth. We ask that you show each of us how we can make history on our blocks. We thank you and ask these blessings with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, my comrades. Thank you. I really appreciate you guys. I know Pastor always talk about when he started his church, God promised him that he was going to bring people to help him. And so you guys, I sent you guys to help me, and you have really, truly been, honestly been a blessing to me and to Bring Back the Family Show. We a team here, and I just appreciate you guys so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Say it loud. I'm black and I'm proud. James Brown, the godfather of soul, released the iconic song, Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud. It was released in August 1968, just 4 months after the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr., July 24, 2018. And this song is about black pride. Brown was a leader in the black community and encouraged his people to stand up for their rights. The 60s was a tumultuous time for race relations in America, and this song became an anthem for the black power movement. Made you strong, made you stand up for what was right. So that was a strong song, I remember, and it's still good today. Okay? So, Rebecca, do you have our little known black history fact that you want to share? Ms. Johnson.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Okay. All right. We're ready for it.
All right. As we celebrate Black history and highlight Black excellence and legacies that have been omitted or purposely blotted out, we will put the spotlight on Katherine Goble Johnson, Dorothy Vaughan, and Mary Jackson. And they were three pioneering black women who made significant contributions to NASA and black history. Katherine Goble Johnson, a mathematician and physicist at NASA as a human computer, and her calculations were crucial in sending the first Americans into space. She also played a significant role in the calculations for the Apollo 11 mission that landed humans on the moon. Dorothy Vaughan was a computer programmer who became the first black supervisor at NASA. She played a key role in the development of electronic computers, including the IBM 7090, which revolutionized NASA's computing capabilities. Mary Jackson was a mathematician and an aerospace engineer who worked at NASA for over 30 years. She was the first black female engineer at the agency and was a leader in promoting equal opportunities for women and minorities at NASA. The contributions of these women to NASA and black history were largely unrecognized for many years. In 2015, Katherine Goble Johnson was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom, and in 2016, the book Hidden Figures by Margot Lee Shetterly brought their stories to a wider audience. Their work and legacy have inspired generations of young women, especially those from underrepresented communities, to pursue careers in science, technology, engineering, mathematics, and to strive for equality and representation in their fields. And that is our Bring Back the Family moment in celebrating Black history.
Beautiful, beautiful. Three talented black women. And if they could do it, our youth could do it. Yes, it can be done. Thank you. Thank you for that Black History moment. Black History Month, celebrating Black History Month. And this is history in the making. Someone will be helped now, later, and in the future by Bring Back the Family. Bring Back the Family. tell you about it. It's a show that is designed to bring awareness to what we need to do for our youth, educationally, professionally, and spiritually, in order for them to be good, productive citizens so that they can contribute and be a contribution to society and all others all around this world. But we have to show them and give them a head start and give them what they need to make it so that they could do that. And all they need is a good foundation, and they just need us to help them. They need the help that we're supposed to give them. And so how do we propose to do this? How do we propose to give them what they need? It's a big world out there. And if everybody do something, we can help get them what it is that they need to make it. And so how do we propose to do it? Block, block, block. Block by block, do something on your block to help our youth get what they need to make it. It's simply just giving back, showing some care, sharing, sharing love, and just being concerned about our youth and what it is that they need. We know what we needed, and so we should know what they need in order for them to have what they need so that they could go out in this world and be productive citizens, good productive citizens. And that's what we need right now in this world. We need us to come go back to the basics for what we used to do. Go back to the basics of the love and the sharing and the caring and making sure that everybody had and have what they need. If you didn't have any sugar, you can go down the street and get some sugar or next door and get some sugar, some flowers, some coffee, some tea, something, you know. And it's just a matter of just having a heart for others and being able to just give what you have. So block by block, do something on your block to contribute to the youth. Give them a vision. If they have no vision, show them the way. We can all remember what someone did for us. And so we could be creative. We could do what they did for us. We could be creative and make up our own do. Okay? I'm happy about what Bring Back the Family is doing in the community on our block and all the plans and the programs that we have planned for the future. It's a new movement, to get parents interested and totally involved in their child's and youth and children and kids' learning and future. You know, as I work with the youth on my block, you have to ask questions about their learning and their school experiences, you know. Whatever it is that they need, you have to ask them, question them, see what it is they need. Like I said, if you know what someone did for you, you know what you need to make it, then let's share what we have block by block, do something on your block for your youth. And just think about what that would do if we just put some love and concern. Just open up our front door, go out, and put some love and concern on our block for our youth. Just think what that would do for us and the world all around us, okay? All righty. Okay, so we're going to talk today about, again, how will you make history and leave a legacy to be remembered for centuries to come? Our children, the youth will be the recipients of what we leave behind. We are the teachers, encouragers, helpers, and the ones they look to for wisdom, knowledge, and experience. So our experiences and wise words will help build on good principles. Bringing Back the Family is about helping the youth get what it is that they need to make it in this world so that they can be good, productive citizens, okay? We will talk about hidden gems in our own families and communities, hidden gems and contributions most people don't even know about. Okay? So our show today will be dedicated to the memory of a gentle giant and poet and author, Albert Michael Ward, and the students at Michigan State University. And we will also acknowledge and congratulate Anthony Cox, a Michigan State University student that is being honored and recognized for his talent in Michigan State University Apparel and Textile Design Showcase, and which was supposed to be recognized this weekend. We'll talk more about that. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. Create a vision for youth that have no vision, okay? Create a vision for youth that have no vision, okay? Hidden gems in our families. We have great people all around us. And if you have someone you want to highlight that has done something great, that hidden gem, that's creative, they've written a book, they're just creative in their own, they have a gift, a special gift, and no one knows about, let us know about it. And we'll extend the Black History Month into March, because Black History, and we Black every day, okay? And so, because this show is about family, and we need to know where the secret gems are in our community. And most of those gems, that, like I said, most people don't even know about, and don't even know about the contributions that have been made by people, okay, by authors and poets and people that do great things, you know. Sometimes they're quiet about what they do, okay? And so Albert Michael Ward, October 16, 1950 to September 5th, 2022. And Albert Michael Ward, he was my cousin. One of my first cousins, my mom's brother's son. And that Michael, his name is Albert Michael, but people call him Michael, call him Al, and then he had nicknames. So but we always called him Michael. And he was just a tall, gentle giant. Friendly gentle giant, just quiet and reserved, and I just looked at him with great respect, and I didn't realize how much in depth that he had contributed to society and to the world. Very talented. And just a secret gem, a gem. And you might want to go and look at his work, Google, and look at his work, some of his work. He was a poet. And so, like I said, this is all about family and community. And so I will read a little bit about Michael from his celebration of life, and we'll just talk about that. And you just never know how in depth a person was. I knew him as my cousin, and I used to see him way back in the day when I would be downtown, and he was so tall, you would spot him from miles, you know, just from a long distance. I would, sneak up on, I would go to the state building. I would always see him. If I was in the New Center area, I would always see him and kind of sneak up on him. And he would just have this big old, you know, gentle smile, you know, just happy to see family. And And it was always a joy to see them. You know, people have their own lives, and they're busy doing what they do. And so you don't get to see one another as much. So, but when we saw him, it was always a good time. And so I'm going to read a little bit about Michael. And just be amazed at all the work that he has done. So, like I said, born October 16, 1950, Albert Michael Ward, a loving husband and father, was born to Albert Abraham Ward, Ph.D., and Marjorie Calhoun Ward, Ph.D., both highly esteemed educators. He was big brother to four siblings, Edith Carter, Cheryl Ward, Benjamin, Donald, and David Ward, and sons to stepfather Howard Carter. The ever-curious student, Michael attracted friends wherever he went, cooking skillet burgers at home, around the table at Parkman Library, in the halls of Cass Technical High School, playing chess, walking the University of Detroit campus, moving through his ever-expanding world as a youngster. He joined the Fellowship of Believers at the St. John CME Church as an adult, and he would make Shrine of the Black Madonna his religious home. In 1975, with the birth of his son Moshe Blake, Al eagerly embraced fatherhood on New Year's Eve 1999. He married his beloved Betty Boone and welcomed additional children to the family embrace. After graduating from Cass Tech, Al went on to earn his bachelor's degree. Like I said, they called him Michael, they called him Al, and after he had a nickname named Mickey, I graduated from Cass Tech. He went on to earn his bachelor's degree from the University of Detroit in 1973. He was a part of the University of Detroit's Project 100, which significantly improved racial relations at the university, inspiring an installation of a Black Madonna sculpture on the campus greens. He participated in an exchange program to study at Boston College for a year. In his senior year, he graduated summa cum laude. Al attended University of Detroit Law School after graduation. However, despite his academic success in law school, he decided law was not his path and embarked on a tri-vocational lifetime of exemplary public service, activism, and poetry. Al was a true son of Detroit. As a young professional, he started his career at Detroit and Comp as a youth leader. And that's what I didn't know, that he was so involved in the youth. And that was, that touched me. He founded the New Detroit Youth Caucus and served as the executive director while in New Detroit. He became a leader in the Upward Bound program at Cranbrook Academy. As a volunteer member of Detroit's Black Applied Resource Coalition, he became a community trainer. Later, he joined the staffs of the Metropolitan Detroit Youth Foundation, a coalition for peaceful integration and the Neighborhood Services Organization, NSO. In 79, Al joined Detroit's Department of Social Services, the predecessor of today's Department of Health and Human Services, pioneering wraparound programming at the Dexter Amherst Community Center, as well as a breakthrough restorative justice process that he developed for the Detroit Public Schools. His leadership and community involvement led to his tenure on the executive staff of both Governor William G. Milliken and Governor James J. Blanchard. For more than three decades, Al served the people of Michigan through his policy and programmatic work within state government. He contributed his innovative and collaborative leadership skills to many institutions. He co-founded the Michigan New Century Project, served as chairman of the Michigan Science and Technology Quest Project, and on the boards of the Michigan Technology Council, the Michigan Science Center, and the Robert L. Millender Fund. Al fell in love with the power of words as a child, becoming a near resident of the Parkman Public Library, where he was inspired by the librarian Dudley Randolph, who was the poet laureate of Detroit and founder of Broadside Press. Al began by writing poems for two greeting card companies, Blue Mountain and Broom Designs. In 1990, he published his first collection of poems, Patches on Main Street. He took great pride in the fact that he was a published Broadside Press poet, participating in numerous public readings. One need only to read Patches on Main Street or listen to About Love Sometimes, CD format. That was 2009. And the lyrics of Midnight Blue and on Andy Bay's Shades of Blue CD format to appreciate Al's love of the word and his understanding of complexities of life and living. In 2004, he was a co-editor with Dr. Gloria House and Dr. Rosemary Witherspoon to produce A Different Image. The legacy of Broadside Press text with a company, CB, in 2005, this son of Detroit was recognized as one of the Michigan's best authors when A Different Image was awarded a Notable Book of Michigan Award 2005. Al collaborated with Dr. Weatherston and Dr. House to establish the Dudley Randall Center for Print Culture at the University of Detroit. Poetry took Al to Salzburg, Australia to serve as poet in residence at the prestigious 2000 Salzburg Seminar Session 376, the social and economic determinants of the public's health. There he was asked to respond through creative writing and poetry to the research and discourse of select eminent scientists, health practitioners, and educators. He was subsequently invited to return to Salzburg for presentation of his theory, The Creative Ethic, on Art and Technology. He would later journey to Johannesburg, South Africa, as a part of a Michigan State University delegation to share his experiences with the Dexter Amherst community and his growing vision of the power of words to connect, transform, and heal. Al loved Belial, books, chess, dance, whitewater rafting, jazz, good food, Motown, music, movies, Idlewild, Michigan, martial arts, science, fiction, and comic books. The Detroit River represented the river of freedom to him. In compliance with his last wishes, his funerary ashes will be distributed there. Albert Michael Ward moved through life as a quiet storm, an intuitive, creative problem solver. He challenged life inequities and sought workable solutions as a public servant, poet, activist, educator, political consultant, and dreamer. His warm, reserved demeanor, love of his culture and community, ethical nature, thirst for knowledge, and generous spirit formed his life's compass, sustaining his deep engagement as poet, visionary, community leader, and dedicated husband and father. He was, okay. And so Albert Michael Ward, I read that already. Okay. And so he was preceded death by both his father, Albert, and his mother, Marjorie. He leaves many to celebrate his legacy. His legacy. I love that. His beloved wife, Betty, son, Moshe Moe, sisters Reverend Edith Carter and Cheryl Benjamin, husband John, brothers Donald Ward, wife Fern, and David Ward, stepfather Howard Carter, nieces Lauren Ward and Denise Ward, Aunt Mary Lee, uncles Joseph Lee Helm, cousins Regina, Michael Foster, and Sylvia Lee, and many dear family members and friends. Wow, that was a lot. This is a life well lived. And just a quiet, gentle giant, very quiet. And you would not think that he did all of those things and was a part of all of that. And that is some true history. I'd like to, he had a book of poems that he wrote. And the poem that I really loved in his book of poems titled, If Grand River Were a River. And I'll read that. Ms. Jackie, is it something that you wanted to
You know what? I was listening to what you were reading, and one of the things that I was sitting back here, because a lot of this, your subjects, bring back the memories in your life about people, their contributions in your life. Like last Friday, I went back and contacted my brother, and I asked him, because I knew I had seen something about soldiers that they had put a wall up, and they had put their military tags on it. And even though my father, if he was alive, he would be 115. But he was in the Army. They had his name up there. They had my nephew's name up there also, which he is much younger, and I think he's in his 30s, early 30s at that. But even to that point, shows like this that you are bringing to the public's ear, it helps them to remember the value of people in their life. And it would be kind of interesting if someone could contact you and share some knowledge about somebody and their loved one and how they made a contribution, that line in between the time of sunrise and sunset, or what they're doing now to make things happen, because there's some great people out there that we never hear about. And, you know, I went in and I listened to some of his poetry. I mean, it was so powerful. And his voice is so soothing. You know, sometimes when you really want to uplift, be lifted, and you are might be going through something, it's good to sit down and listen, pull it up online, on YouTube, what is it, Albert Michael Ward, and listen to his poetry, and it would take you to a different level of the brain waves and also bring out certain creativity within you. I really appreciate sitting down listening to what he has to say in his contribution. I would have loved to have met him and really found out what was going on in his head, because this man had a lot to offer.
He did.
He really did. And people, you know, put him up on YouTube and just listen to what is Albert Michael Ward. And when you listen to the tone of his voice, you could see, I never met him, but you could hear the gentleness and what he has to say. His message is so powerful. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, he was a gentle giant, and he was just like his appearance and everything spoke everything that he was, the gentleness of him. Yeah, he was very, very quiet and just very, can't say nothing but gentle.
That is awesome. But you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I call them our gems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like precious stones, those are our gems that walk the face of this earth, that God gave them an opportunity. And I would love for our listening audience to contact you and share with you about certain gems. And let's put something together, because the knowledge, and this only came to me after listening to your uncle. What was he, 93 years old?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the price Sergeant of information. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And information that he shared with us, it almost makes you say, hey, wait a minute. Let's reach back to those, the ones that we have left, and
mm-hmm.
let them tell us some stories, even if we have to record it and don't have time to write it all down. You can write it later. But record
mm-hmm.
some of the messages that they have, some of the knowledge that they could share with us. I think that that would be a great contribution to the world when we could share people from all over the world that's listening to your show that have somebody that's special to them. Maybe you can give out information at the end for them to contact you. And let's see where that takes
mm-hmm.
us.
Yeah, it sounds like a good show. That's right. I wish I had, because everybody, he was older than me, about 11 years older than me, and so he was around with my brothers and things like that. And so, but I wish I had just spent more time with him to really just know all the things that he's done and just, you know, be a part of that. But he was so quiet. And I know he kind of, when my mom was sick in the hospital and I went to see her, he was there, you know, standing by her bedside and, you know, just quiet and just, you know, visiting with her. And I just thought that was just so cool, you know. I know that he was close with my brothers and her at that time because he used to play with them. Back in the day, come over because they were all tall and just, you know, had their great moments at that time. Miss Pierce, you have something you want to share? We'll jump in eventually. Yes. So yes, we'll just give that information again at the end if you want to go and listen to some of Michael's work. It's just really, like she said, it's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And like I said, I'm going to read the poem late at the end. It's really a nice poem. It says, Grand River was a river. Okay. And so, Ms. Pierce, is anything that you want to say about Michael? I know his son and his will be coming on at another date, and they're going to talk to us about his accomplishments and all the things that they and just expound on all the things that he's done. And so we'll look forward to that at another time. Yes. And so too, because time goes so fast. we want to acknowledge, and I meant to say this in the beginning, the tragedy that went on at Michigan State University. Our prayers go out to all the families, and we just pray that the kids will be okay, and that this won't affect how they, you know, see life and want to keep their education, further their education. We're just going to keep praying for them. And they're going to be the ones that get the change going that needs to be changed, that we want to see and that they want to see. They're going to be the ones that make history about the situation that they're facing. Okay? And I look forward to that. And so also we want to acknowledge Michigan State University student Tony Cox. We call him Tony. We call him Little Tony. And he goes to Michigan State University, and he was doing what he loves to do, enjoying his time away, time at school. He's outgoing. young man, and he was just, you know, enjoying college life, college campus, and being creative and just networking and just being the outgoing person that he is. And this weekend, he was going to be acknowledged, and we want to congratulate him that, because he's into fashion. I don't know if his sister or his mom want to expound on the turn the mics on. If they want to expound on the recognition that he being honored at Michigan State University in the Apparel and Textile Design Showcases. He's into fashion, he's into photography, he's into, you know, just a whole lot of things. And he's just really enjoying college life, and we're going to pray that this doesn't deter him in any kind of way, and that he has our support and going forward, you know, in his life. Okay. Did you want to say anything, the mother of Tony? Is there anybody want to say anything about what that award that he's being honored with his fashion?
Hello.
You know, that's Mr. Hey, you know, that's Mr. and Mrs. Anthony Cox, and they had three children to go to Michigan State University. And, you know, these are some a family that we are very proud of. They're doing the family thing. I think they've been married how many years now, Mr. and Mrs. Cox? Are you online here?
Oh, 21 years.
21 years. 21 years. I'm so proud of you guys just sticking in there and being a family that represents, you know, that people could look at you and see how this is done, you know, and raise your children to be good, productive citizens. Yeah, good kids. Proud of them. Proud of you, and congratulations for those 21 years, and just keep it going. Mm-hmm.
We tried our best. Thank you.
That's right. That Mr. Cox, Sergeant Cox, that's a good guy. I tell you, he really is. And you say something about him, them kids will be ready to get you. They will be ready to get you.
Yeah.
I just love it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so did you want to say anything about Tony's award that he's being recognized and honored with?
I don't want to keep y'all all night long talking about my baby.
That's all right. No, yeah, he's special. And he is one of those gems in the community and in the family that we are so proud of, because he has such a good demeanor. He is such a, I don't know what to call that young man. He is just, the personality is just is 100%. He is just a great kid.
Yeah.
Very great. And yes. How's he doing, by the way?
He's doing good. He's doing good, you know, taking it day by day. You know, it really got to him and a lot of other students, you know. That was a lot. Because, you know, they're just, they were just at school, you know, walking, doing their thing. This is Tony's third year. So he loves, you know, school, and he loves being involved. That's what he was doing that day. He was there, you know, because he's in so much stuff. You know, he has his own org, and, you know, he does a museum, volunteers. So, you know, he's just taking it day by day.
Okay. You know, we're going to be supporting whatever he needs from us. You know, we there for him.
But I'm very proud of him. We were. I told him because when he came home, you know, you get a little older. You gotta, you know, put stuff on the refrigerator, calendars everywhere, so you don't forget stuff. So he saw the date for his, you know, award he's gonna be recognized for on the calendar on the refrigerator, and then he had the biggest smile. I said, "Yeah, Tony, we had a plan. We were gonna get all the kids, the Annabelle crew, and we were gonna go up there." Yeah, we're going to go up there, and I know they would have been excited to, you know, go up there and see all that, because I really want them to. I miss the little Annabelle crew.
Hey, them cat kids on doing that
kids.
Block by block, and yes,
cat kids.
We were going to load up that van, and we were going to go to this ceremony that that you're going to tell us about. And we were ready, and that was supposed to be today. That was supposed to be today. And so.
It was supposed to be, and then, they were going to carry on, I think, to the end of the month, I believe. And it was just, you know, I wish I could show the outfit he designed. And he was chosen to display his design, you know, at the ceremony. It was the building that they have this stuff at. So he was chosen to do
the
that.
Textile
really
design.
Hard.
Okay.
Yep. He worked really hard. I remember he just texting me, you know, each day, okay, I have this, but I don't know about this. And I said, you know, you just, what I always tell him, you just got to just, sit back and just breathe, because sometimes you just, you know, just go. I said, you're talented. It's going to naturally come. And you did it. You designed it. And you got chosen.
Yes. And did they ever get the other information that they were going to send as far as what he was being honored? Because it says he his apparel was chosen to go into the textile design showcase. So, and that's a nice, nice outfit. I want him to design one for me for my size. I could wear that.
Me too.
Be his sexy
outfit. I want him to design me some, but I need a little bit more fabric.
A little bit more, me too. Yeah, that's nice. Well, we will get a chance to see. I'm sure they'll get back to, you know, in time they'll go back and they'll have that that ceremony.
Well,
go ahead.
He did tell me that they're just thinking of another venue. So I'll keep you up to date. But, yeah, he said they're just thinking of another area, you know, just to do it. So they're still going to do it, but just don't know when.
Well, good deal. Well, he know we're going to be there, all of those kids.
All of them.
And then he works at the museum. He does his internship at the museum. So we were going to go up there because the kids are out of school this week. We were going to go up there and go to the museum and let them give us our tour and enjoy the ceremony with the him being recognized and his outfit being chosen to go into the apparel for the textile design showcase. So we were looking forward to that. I'm glad that they're thinking about going ahead and having it. Thank you so much. You know, we're going to be keep them in our prayers and all the ones that, all the families that were, you know, involved in this, all the kids. It's a lot of kids.
And they're out there doing what
they're supposed to do. They're out there trying to get their education so that they can get what it is that they need to make it. They were in the right place. They were in the right place and doing the right things, and you know, life happens and, you know, different experiences. We've had our experiences, you know, and I don't know if we have experienced anything, you know, such as this in our time. But, yeah, this is their time and this is what's going on. Mm-hmm. So we're going to pray that things get better. And like I said, they're going to be the ones who make the changes. And that, yeah, this generation coming up, they are strong. And
very strong.
They want to see change. They do. They want to see change.
Uh-huh.
And, mm-hmm. So I'm going to look forward to see what they got in mind for this. Yeah. So, anything else you want to say?
I'll just thank you, like all.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you, as always. You know, it comes as generation to generation. You know, I witnessed my aunt always, you know, with the kids and with us, and we're just keeping it going with Kat's kids, my kids, or cousins, nieces, nephews. It's just going to keep on going.
Got to keep it going.
But I appreciate what you're doing.
All right. I appreciate what you're doing, too. I love the family, you know, that you have, and you guys are working that thing out and doing the right thing, and God is going to just keep blessing it. He's just going to keep blessing it. And you're in a good example of what family is. Love it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you so much. I appreciate
it. How's Todd doing? He don't have anything he want to say. The proud
surprise. You know,
proud dad.
He can go on and on.
Yes. Yeah, he always has something good to say. And we just appreciate him, and we want to recognize him, and just, you know, tell him thank you for his service and all that for celebrating Black History, because, you know, this is all history. This is all history, and the next generation will be talking about this. They will.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be talking about it, you know, the things that Tony is doing,
mm-hmm.
the things that Shania is doing, things that Jordan's doing, and all the kids around the world that's doing something to make this world great. You know, yeah,
oh,
be
yes,
good productive
yes.
citizens. Yes.
Oh, yes, great leaders. Well, I'm gonna go to Jordan. He saw Jordan when he was in seventh grade. They told a teacher came up to him and said, "Hey, you know, I see how you are with the kids. They're on the, I think they believe on the spectrum. You know, autistic kids. They have a program, really good program in Lincoln Park." So Jordan was a part of that from middle school to high school. So the other day, Jordan told me, he said he didn't think that the young man was going to remember him. But he was so excited and remembered Jordan. You know, every time they see Jordan, they get so excited because he just works so well with the kids.
Okay.
And I always told Jordan, I said, you got to use that, you know. I know he wants to be a nurse, but maybe, you know, throw some teaching in there, too, because he works so well.
He's
with
a good
kids.
Teacher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's a good teacher. I'm trying to get him on my tutoring list for, you know, tutor some of our kids on our block. And he's so busy. And so I'm just trying to get one day, just give us one day that we could use and to tutor our kids. Some of them need some help in algebra and, you know, other subjects. So, yeah. Then use them. Especially when a child remember you, because we remember our good teachers that we had. We have some seniors graduating this year too. All your kids have graduated from high school, so they're all in college. And so Tony has one more year, and we got Lenedra Gaston. She's graduating this year, so we're gonna be behind her, supporting her this year as well. And anybody else that's graduating, so shout it out, and we will keep them on our shout-out list and make sure that we support them in this upcoming graduation time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Tony also does some photography. He did a photo shoot with some clothing or something like that. What was that about? A clothing line?
It was a guy from Detroit. He has a clothing line. It's to bring awareness to mental health. I forgot. Demetrius, I can't think of his last name. But he, Tony, this is about Tony's personality, and he's so determined. He's been writing this young man for 3 years straight, nonstop. 3 years straight. He just kept going. Even if the guy didn't, you know, say anything back, he just kept pushing, kept going. So he finally got his opportunity because someone said, hey, I know this young man. And then the guy saw him and then reached out and he did the photo shoot. So he's on the website. So he was very, very excited about that. I think it's You Matter.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You Matter. That's what the name of the line of clothes are. You Matter.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, we're going to look forward to seeing that come out. Yeah, he has that personality. He's not afraid to approach people. He's very, very outgoing. I went up there and to visit him one day on my runs, and he was just such a good host. just, you know, so intelligent, just fun to be around and fun to talk to. Yeah, and very helpful and so polite. Just a gentleman, true gentleman. Yeah,
yeah.
I'm proud of him.
Yeah, he had a wonderful example. He had a wonderful example.
Yeah.
Both of our boys.
He is. Yeah, very happy young man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're so proud of him. Okay, anybody have any questions? Anybody want to make a comment? Just press 1. I will open your mic and you can... feel free to have a comment. Okay. Sister Pierce? Are you in the mix here? next show, we're going to have the young people on, and they're going to have their own show. Their own history, Black History Celebration show, and they're going to run the whole show and showcase their talent and whatever it is that they, you know, that we need to know that they want to tell us and, you know, want us to listen to. So we're going to look forward to that next week. And Shania and Jacob hopefully Tony and Jordan and everybody, anybody that wants to get in on that, they will. They have a lineup. I don't know what all they're going to do, but I'm looking forward to just sitting back and listening. Mm-hmm. Shania, you have anything you want to say? I don't know why Miss Pierce is so quiet today. That's okay. So, okay, anything else you want to share with us, Miss Cox? We are so proud of you that you are... you know, you're a good mom, and you have really been there, a cheerleader for the children, and I've always depended on you to help me with my flyers and help me with anything that are very talented as well. Tell everybody what you do. You do flyers. You do, what else do you do? Bookmarks, T-shirts. Water bottles. Just set up. Very helpful.
Huh? I said, whatever you ask.
Yeah, right. That's a little gem in the community. Set up, yeah. She will. Whatever I ask her to do, she is ready. Well, I do it. I'll try. It always comes
I'll
out
figure
good.
It out.
So.
Yeah, I'll figure it out.
Right. Well, it's it's been working out. It really has. And you gotta have a photo booth and what else you got going over there?
Photo booth, everything. Everything. I try to keep myself busy.
Yeah. You know, really,
if you don't use your talent, you lose it.
Right. So Angel's creation.
I keep trying to use it and use it. Oh, and I can't wait to the kids show. I can't wait for that.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be nice. I can't wait to just sit back. Back, we can just sit back and listen. Yeah, this is not easy to do, but you know, it's not easy. But you know, the drive for the kids keep me going. Okay, yeah, the drive for the kids keep me going. Let me see, Henry, Kenny, you press one. You have something you want to say? I don't think so. He just pressed one by mistake, maybe. Kenny, 5762. No. And they're out having a good time. Okay. So, anything else, Sister Vandegrift, Miss Johnson? Miss Pierce,
I'm just sitting back enjoying all of the good information, and I was so proud of, because you had brought it to our attention. I was just so proud and looking forward to our kids going up to the ceremony. They all were very excited and, you know, for this new experience, because you always have something of value to take the children to, but we'll do it in the future. I'm pleased about them.
Okay. I was looking forward to the poem. Did you read that or did I miss it?
No,
she did at the end. I haven't read it yet. Yeah, like she said, they're going to do another venue and still have that ceremony. So we're looking forward to it. And I hopefully it's when they're out of school, you know, because the kids are out of school this next week. And we're going to be trying to find some activities for them to do and while they're out of school. First, I'm going to have them come and help me organize some stuff and clean up. And then we're going to go on some outings. And hopefully they'll schedule it, you know, maybe sometime, maybe next Friday or something. But just try to give them a week. Yeah. We are proud of that. And so very nice outfit. And so if anybody's interested in going, just let me know, okay? Send me a message on Bring Back the Family. I don't use my website much, but you could call me at 313-658-4995. That's 313-658-4995. And I could give you the information about that. If you want to send your kids, we got a couple of seats left that they could tag along with us, okay? But that's what Bring Back the Family do, and that's what Cat Kids do. And on our block, it's Cat Kids. And so what are you doing on your block to help your youth, okay? So, all right, so we can go ahead and read this poem, and then we'll bring that awesome O in. And, hey, like Miss Jackie said, if you have a gym that we don't know about, somebody that's being very creative and that we don't know about and they need to be acknowledged, let us know. Okay? So listen to this. If Grand River were a river, I love this poem. There are no waterfalls on Dexter. but when it rains, the streets shimmer like glass, and Oakman Boulevard becomes a rainforest. Blue and transparent, the sky over Dexter is bright in summer. The sun washes the savannas and sidewalks in golden hues. In the barber shop on Dexter, I learned to play checkers. At Parkman Library, my bicycle was stolen. Had my African warriors been with me, we would have drummed on our shields, walked through the tall grass, and found my bicycle. If Grand River were a river, I would walk along its banks from village to village. If Grand River were a river, children could dance at the water's edge, dances of freedom. Grandmothers would say, carry these groceries, boys. One day you'll make fine young men. We'd walk Dexter sometimes to Elmhurst or Fullerton or across Davidson to Clements and Pasadena. Had lots of friends on Ewald Circle and Kendall. The grandmothers would tell stories and give us lots of 50 cents. I remember that summer of 67, 43 people died, they said. A civil disturbance. Businesses burned on 12th Street, houses in Pingree, tanks chewed up the alley behind the garage of my aunt's suite, lures running through her backyard, terror, smoke and ashes, not to be denied. If Grand River were a river, trees would grow rich and lush, like baobabs, their roots thick. If Grand River were a river, I would be free. Woodward and the Boulevard, marketplace where villagers and neighbors come to trade to greet. I see watercolors of silk and broadcloth, women with their bundles walking, the elders with their sticks. Mount Kilimanjaro is greater than the Fisher Building, with snow like crystal, silver at its crest. The sun sleeps there when the moon is round and full. East or west of Woodward, I am home. If Grand River were a river, elephants could drink from it, and I would wash my clothes among its stones. Wow, was that deep or not?
That was good. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, Albert Michael Ward. Yeah. Tall, gentle giant. Mm-hmm. That's not, he's in heaven with all his poetry and resting. Yeah. Okay. Well, let me just bring on our awesome Pastor O. Just thank everybody for tuning in and being a part of Bring Back the Family. Just do something on your block, you know, to make a difference in this world. There's a lot going on. If we don't help our youth now, we'll be victims of not helping later. We don't want, we want our kids to grow up to be good, productive citizens. Not where they, if they don't get what they need, they will be angry. They will be angry, and then we'll see a lot of this that's going on continue. So we want to make sure our kids get what it is that they need so that they don't be cold, that they will have a place to live, they'll have transportation, they'll be able to get whatever it is that they need because they have what they need, okay? Yes. Pastor Awesome, are you with us?
Yes, indeed. I sure am.
Hallelujah. How are you?
I am good. And as usual, it was a great night. It was good. You know, I love, as a pastor and a teacher and all that mm-hmm. other stuff, I get to talk a lot. But, you know, what I love about Bring Back the Family is I get to listen a lot. Because mm-hmm. there was somebody, I forgot who it was, who taught me that you learn listening more than you do talking. I think it was the Word of God mm-hmm. that said be quick to listen and slow to speak. you know. But again, as I was listening tonight, Albert Michael Ward, and when you were reading about him again, it amazes you, when, especially when you know somebody. And then when you mm-hmm. read about that somebody, you read about their life. You read about what Sister Jackie was talking about, that dash between the time we're born and the time we die. Everything goes mm-hmm. into that. And as I was sitting and I was listening, I was just thinking about Revelations chapter 14, verse 13, and it says, "Then I heard a voice from heaven say, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor." This is what you just said. He's resting now, but the works, his deeds, will follow him. So even though he's rest from his labors, those poems and all the other things he did in his life, those works are still here. And that just got me to thinking that this was not just for people, just for certain people. It was for everybody. So that tells me that there's a potential for all of us to do great things. There's a potential for greatness in every single one of us, no matter who we are. Now, greatness is relative. You take the little girl. She was a slave. She got captured by the Assyrians, and now she's a slave I forget the man's name, Naaman the Syrian. She's a slave in his house, right? So she's a little slave girl. She's been given to his wife to serve her. This has become her mistress, right? And so one day she hears about her husband's leprosy, and this little slave girl, she suggests to her mistress, Naaman's wife, that, "Hey, tell your husband there's a man over there in Israel named Elisha, and he can hook your husband up. You know, I'm just saying, he do miraculous things." And so, long story short, she becomes the hero of the story. But who would have ever known that the Lord would, Naaman was a great Syrian, a great warrior, but he had leprosy. And that was, you know, keeping him from reaching even greater potential. But here's this little slave girl. All of a sudden, is thrust into the limelight. I mean, what do you think her life was like after Naaman came back healed and found out from his wife it was her who led to all this? You look at David, and you look at his life. When Samuel went down to David's house, he was out there. He didn't even get invited to the dinner. Samuel told Jesse, "I'm coming over to your house, have all your sons out there, because I'm going to pick one of them to anoint as king, as the next king to replace Saul." God had fired him or suspended him or whatever. But anyway, David is out with the sheep, right? He's not even called to the meeting. He's not even considered. But we all know today the greatness that was in him. I even wonder, after Samuel laid his eyes on David, if it had not been for the Lord saying, "This is the one," would he have picked David? Because he didn't look like somebody who would become a great king. And this is what Samuel went to get. But what he finds is a little shepherd boy who's not even invited with the other sons to the table. But the potential of greatness was there. And I believe that all of us have a potential for greatness in us. But we have to push for it. And when we find it, we have to work for it. We have to work on it. We can receive a lot of things in life. I'm in the racing, and when you buy a new race car, it's not like it's just going to work. I mean, yes, you have it, but there's things that have to be done to bring it to its peak. And so with any gift that God gives us, whether we're is a secular gift, okay, like what what Sister Cox was talking about, all of those different things that she does, okay, whether it's, you have to work those. If God has given you a brain, you have to work that. Whatever it is God has given you, you have to work that. I just had a report, heard a report today that so many people who left the workforce didn't stop working. They became entrepreneurs. They found some opportunities that didn't exist before during the pandemic, and so they became entrepreneurs. They took those giftings were in them before this happened, but it was something about that time that exposed it, and they went for it. You know, of course, it's hard to run a small business. It's not an easy thing to do. You have to work it, whatever it is. If Jesus wanted to be an expert carpenter like his father, Joseph, then he had to work and learn and hone that skill so he could in turn teach it to his younger brothers, because Joseph wasn't around when Jesus was like 30, so somebody had to take care of their mother, and so he had to become that person to teach them that trade, okay? So there's greatness in all of us, every single one of us, but we have to know that. Now, what I do, what I contribute might be like the little slave girl. She just gave information. But look what it led to. Okay? Think of Martin Luther King, you know, when he was just a little kid. Was he thinking, you know, I'm going to one day grow up and get us civil rights and lead great marches and all these kinds of things? Okay? But it was what we saw come out of him was in him. Somebody nurtured it. Somebody recognized it, didn't quite know what it was. And when they did find out that it was what it was and it could get you in a lot of trouble, they may have even been afraid for it, even shun it. You don't want to do that. If they'll blow up a church and kill four little girls, and who knows what they'll do to you. But then that greatness there, and it cannot be ignored because it's in us. And I don't believe God put anybody in the world without a potential for greatness on a level. Because when Jesus gave out gifts in Matthew 25, when he talked about that parable of giving out gifts, he gave everybody something, but he gave it according to their ability. So that's what I mean when I say we can all achieve a certain level of greatness. Okay, whatever it is, if God has given you the skill to be a mechanic, well, become an expert mechanic to the nth degree. Okay, if God has given you the skill to be the CEO of a company, make it work and make it work in bad and good times. And be a great leader of people, a great motivator of people. Take it to the nth degree. Don't just get the job and do what you have to do to keep the job, but excel at the job. Move up the ladder. Get raises. Get promotions. Push for it. Look for the top and keep going toward it. It won't just happen. If you want a great plant, you have to plant a little seed. You have to water that little seed. You have to cultivate that little seed. You have to keep the weeds and the predators and whatever that wants to hurt that little seed until it sprouts. And then you have to do what you have to do at that stage, and it just until it's a great plant. It's the same way with anything else. Especially this life. God has given every human being secular giftings, and spirit. As far as you're a Christian, you have a spiritual gift. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 makes that perfectly clear. Okay, but even if God causes his rain to shine on the good and the bad, the sun, the same thing, right? So that means he wouldn't put nobody here on this planet. Like, you look at Genesis chapter 4, these are Cain's descendants, these Cain's family. And none of them seem to follow the Lord, right? They follow after Cain, right? But look at what God enabled them to do. They were artificers of steel and bronze. They were builders of cities. They were keepers of flocks and herds, okay? So they knew how to do things. They were gifted secularly or naturally. so that they could provide for themselves. Like it says, Abel was a keeper of sheep. Cain was a tiller of the soil. Okay? This is what he was good at, and I believe all of us. So there's potential in every single one of us. And so all of us should look deep down inside of ourselves. And something else that came up, just let me say this and I'm going to close. All of us can offer something. And when we get ready to leave, the question is, what will we leave? What will we leave behind? What will be our mark? Like you read all of that about Albert Michael Ward. When our time comes, what will be read about us? What will be said about us? Will we do like Luke 16:9 says? Will we use the worldly wealth that we have? That's the time, talent, and treasure God gives all of us, okay, to make friends for ourselves. So when it's gone, we'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings. So, again, a loud voice from heaven said, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they'll rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. So what are we leaving to follow? I guess that's a part of the question, right? What are we doing? What are we doing in history to make a difference for our youth in history? What will be history? The only way there'll be a history is if we do something in history, and then there'll be a history of us having done something for our youth, just like Albert Michael Ward did, and we could read about it. What will they read about us? When they talk about us and we're gone, what will they say?
Right.
What was our contribution?
The legacy will we leave.
And all of us have that potential. The potential is there. We just have to find it, work it, and run with it. You know, somebody once said to me, Pastor, how do I find out what I'm good at? Try something. Do something. And if you're good at it, you'll be good at it. If not, then you might be able to do it, but it's not something you would do if nobody paid you. But what you're good at, you're good at. And nobody has to tell you you're good at it. You're good at it. You just need to believe in yourself and make it happen because you're good at it. That's your thing.
That's your gift.
I mean, you look at all the things that's for sale in the world today. I mean, really. Cabbage patch dolls. Somebody was good at making cabbage patch dolls. And somebody was good at making a pet rock, and they got rich. Somebody was good at making a mood ring. Remember the mood ring? So those are secular gifts that God gives us to do commerce, you know, to make money, but there's also spiritual giftings. But you have something, and you can be successful on your level, doing your thing.
That's right. And the children are our future. And so they say teach them well and let them lead the way.
Yes.
God has given everybody a gift and a talent. And like you say, what you put to it is what you get out of it. Well,
yeah,
thank you,
Pastor. Sure. You're welcome.
So we're going to continue to keep those students at Michigan State University lifted up in prayer. Let's see. Also, June's cousin's daughter was a student there, Madison Richard. So we want to, you know, everybody knows somebody that went to school there, and We're going to keep them kids lifted up in prayer. Like I said, they're going to be the ones that make change in this world happen. I want to continue and congratulate Tony Anthony Cox for his being honored in the apparel and textile design showcase at MSU. And we're going to look forward to going to that ceremony. They said they're going to change the venue. So we're going to load up Cat Kids in the van, and we're going to head on out and go to that whenever they reassign it. Let me see. So I think that's it. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, all the co-hosts and Ms. Johnson and Ms. Vandegrift and Ms. Pierce. Quiet today. That's okay. And our listening audience and our awesome old. And so we will look forward to seeing you and hearing you next week, where the youth and the young adults are going to do their Black History tribute and whatever they have planned. I'm just going to sit back and just run the controls and just listen and just be blessed by what they do. Okay? All right. Until we meet again, love, love. All minds clear, Pastor O. You got anything that you want to announce or anything?
No, just that we're glad to be back in church. Just glad we'll be back in church. Started March 5th up at the River Ridge High School in the LGI auditorium, so it'll be good to be back in church, in-person worship service. Looking forward to that. All the information is on our church website. All the information is rfcm.org, rfcm.org. You can get all that info.
All right, y'all come and visit us. Okay. All right. Okay, well, see you next week. Children are our future.